Make yourself comfortable because we're going to take our time tonight. Last month, we did mastery over creation. I thought that was a really good session. The feedback from it has been incredible, especially talking about the mysteries, that the earth's made from the mysteries of God, that the face of the deep there, the word deep, the abyss, is actually the same idea and word in Hebraic as the deep of God. So the earth was pulled out of the deep, and then we were made from that mystery revealed. So humans are made from the mystery revealed, and earth is the gate of heaven. So my friend Dr. O from Activate says it was a wormhole planet. It was one of the gateways, a heavenly gate, and it was designed to be an interface place. So it was in multiple realms at once. When you look at the scripture, it talks about the garden of Eastwood in Eden. So the garden is actually a bubble dimension, which is the garden of the Lord, which is a vast world in its own right. Cross into that was Eden, and Eden was in the earth and in the garden. So we were in the overlap. We were in the overlap between realms. We're going in deep straight away, aren't we, guys? Probably, like, if you're new to this, just you'll figure it out, okay? I think, you know, we have to go into the mysteries of God in our generation. We can't stay in the shallow end. How many of you guys are fed up with the shallow end? You just want to plunge in. Thank you, Jackie. Yeah, thank you, Emma and Jerry, Diana. Thank you, Jessica. Yeah, so we want to plunge into the deep pool and think about the Garden of Eden and nature and mystery. So we're going to be talking about mastery over creation, but I thought tonight we would start with a meditation. So I don't know if you guys are up for this. If you're not, go and get it. You could get a cup of tea or a coffee, but I'm going to teach you a new meditation technique today to start off. The reason why we do meditation is because meditation is the methodology for engaging the realms and engaging nature and becoming telepathic and sensing other things and seeing visions. They all start when we stop moving in our brain and we move from our heart. So he put eternity in our heart, right? So if you want to be eternal, you move into your heart, and that functions through love and rest and joy. It's a beautiful realm within you. So meditation is a tool to shift from the cares and worries of this world, which are all over the place, into this place. And then that actually sends more signals to your brain. Scientifically, I think it's four times more signals go up to your brain than come down. And your heart controls the love hormone. It's the place where love happens. It actually produces the love hormone. And when you ask children, you know, where your being is, they'll point to their heart. When you meet a person, you say they have a good heart. Have you ever met a person who said they have a good brain? No, you don't. You say they have a good heart, because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the heart has four chambers in it, representing the four chambers of rivers of Eden. It's Eden Springs, your heart. So when we live from the heart and not our thoughts, because the Bible says the natural mind can't receive the things of the spirit. So you can't receive the spirit through the natural mind. You can receive it through the spirit mind into your natural mind. So meditation shifts your consciousness into another state. Now, when you do meditation, on a scan, your heart will go into a coherent state, and then your brain will follow. And then the hemispheres will show increased activity, and the part of your brain connected to kindness, compassion, and empathy will get thicker over time. And the part of your brain connected to fear will actually shrink. So your brain is literally being transformed. So scripture says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So meditation is the technology to renew your mind. It's not the only way God can do it. God can do it in lots of ways. The power of God can come on you. But this is a natural method. So today I'm going to teach you mantra. Now, mantra, don't get scared by that word. It just means a repetitive sound that you use. So in the throne zone, They use the word holy. They are in the holy and they're going holy, 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 holy. And even now I can feel the holy, right? So we use these words to shift our consciousness. So we're going to do one today. We're going to use shalom. We're going to use the word shalom as our mantra. Now, the word shalom means completeness, wholeness, safety, soundness, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony, and this is a good one, absent of discord. So the Jews say shalom as a greeting and as a farewell. So shalom is a realm. It's made up of living letters. So it's got the shin, the burning fire. It's got the lamed, which is the highest letter, reaching up to be taught by the Lord in your heart. It's got the vav, the connection point, Yeshua, which is hooking you up, the tent peg. And then it's got the mem, which is frequency or waters. So when we say the word shalom, we're not just saying a word. We are invoking the frequency of the living letters of Yeshua that are in that word, the shin, lamed, vav, and mem. So shalom is a realm, it's a dimension, and it's the God of shalom, peace, that crushes Satan. So peace is the most powerful warfare technology you have. Now, as we're talking about nature tonight, I've learned from governing lots of storms, if I'm not at peace in my heart, if I'm upset or annoyed or angry, I can't do it. The miracle relies on a state of heart coherence. So learning to meditate is a practice we all need because we're going into the age of love. And it's always been in the church. It's always been in church history, meditation. So we're going to practice shalom. So if you're ready to join me in this, lovely people, we're going to do it. So sit comfortably, as you know. You're kind of sitting up upright but soft. Maybe sense your feet on the floor. It's good to connect with the floor and your body. You can put your hands on your lap or wherever you feel comfortable. Just take a deep breath and soften your body. You'll immediately feel if there's tension in your jaw. Just let that go. And you might feel stuff you've been worried about today. Let that go. Think of them as clouds passing in the sky. They're just going. Your thoughts are just going. Your repetitive worries are going. You're discovering the power of living in now. Now is beautiful. Okay. So just sense your body. And what we'll do is take a deep breath, a couple of deep breaths, and just focus on the breath. Don't think about it. Sense your breath as we do this. See how powerful that is already. Just that small choice is to shift. Now, one phrase that I use, which I've learned from my mindfulness studies, I'm going to teach you now. It's a beautiful one. You say this, right? Imagine you're in traffic or you're in a lineup. The other day, Rachel and I went out and we were in a lineup in this cafe and it was busy and the queue was long and there was noise. Rachel went to get a table. While I stood there, I let go of the energy of that place and I used this phrase, and it's this: breathing in, I calm my body. Breathing out, I smile. Okay, so try that. Breathing in, I calm my body. Think that. Breathing out, I smile. Breathing in, I calm my body. Breathing out, I smile. I was doing that in the queue and I instantly started to feel the ecstasis realm when I was in the lineup. So let's do it again. Breathe in and in your mind, say, I calm my body. Breathing in, I calm my body. Breathing out, I smile. And practice smiling. Now, part two of this meditation is this. You breathe in and go living in the present moment. So breathing, living in the present moment. You breathe out and say, I know this is a beautiful moment. So what you're framing up is this is a beautiful moment. So breathe in, living in the present moment. Breathe out, I know this is a beautiful moment. Living in the present moment. So let's do all four together. Ready? So breathing in, I calm my body. Breathing in, I calm my body. Breathing out, I smile. Dwelling or living in the present moment, I know this is a beautiful moment. So we'll practice one more time. Breathing in, I calm my body. Breathing out, I smile. Dwelling in the present moment, I know this is a beautiful moment. It's very powerful. I probably use that one every single day. It gets you centered that now is beautiful, okay? So I love it, and I hope you do too. So the next bit now, we're going to do shalom. Okay, this is a separate meditation. This is part two. Now, shalom, I've already said, means completeness and wholeness. This is an interesting one because we're going to speak out loud and do it. Now, it's a 3-minute meditation, but you will feel the whack on this, trust me. So minute one, we're going to speak out shalom. And then in the second minute, we're going to whisper shalom. And in the third minute, we're going to say it in our heads. Now, the reason we use a word is it trains your brain to stay here. It actually changes the way your brain functions. So you might think, why am I doing this? You're doing this because it's changing your brain to be heart-centric. And if you live from your heart, you'll live from the spirit. See, people are saying they're already feeling the whack. Yay, that's great. It's so simple to get whacked. I never understand when I go to meetings and they're trying to find God. You know, God's already come. He's in us. That's the whole point of the Kainos creation. You know, that's the whole beyond human idea. There was one of the mystics was looking for God, and God spoke to her and said, if I'm in you and you're in me, why are you still looking for me? See, he's closer to you than the air that you breathe. Okay, so we're going to do the shalom one now, and just stick with me. It will feel weird if you're not used to meditation because your brain will want to wander. Don't let your brain wander. Just let it go and come back to the union. Because when you live in union, miracles and weird stuff just happens. It's so much fun. The reason a lot of Christians don't see the phenomena of this book, and I've seen a lot of the phenomena, so I'm teaching you from my heart here. I'm giving you the key is be still and know. Be still and know that I am God. Wait on the Lord. And as you enjoy him, as you engage him, a lot of this has happened to me accidentally. I'm an accidental miracle worker. How many of you guys would like to be accidental miracle workers? You accidentally do things, yeah? Okay, so ready? Minute one, I'm going to put my timer on and we're going to do shalom for 1 minute. So here we go. So breathe in. Relax. Here we go. So minute one. Shalom. Feel shalom. 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 Now you could say it however you want. Shalom. Feel it. Shalom. 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 Nearly there. Shalom. Feel the frequency of shalom. Now we're going to whisper shalom. Here we go. Breathe in. Shalom. Breathe in. Shalom. 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 I'm sensing more of God now. So just feel God's presence. You're in his shalom. Shalom. You are in his peace. Shalom. Okay, for the last minute now, we're going to say it quietly. So breathe in. And as you breathe out, say it in your mind. On the out breath. And remember to smile. Relax your face. Shalom. Okay. Okay. So very gently, thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for your shalom. Thank you. Breathing in, I calm my body. Breathing out, I smile. Thank you for your shalom. Thank you for the seat of government of rest. Thank you that this is what nature responds to. Rest. Shalom. I love moving my hands when I say shalom. Shalom. As you know, the Jews do this and they do that, which represents the hay, the window of worlds. So when you're entering into the window of worlds, it's opening up the realm. I was in the breath on the Lord's day. I'm teaching you practical mysticism here, by the way. All the old saints knew how to practice this. They called it different names. They called it contemplation, simple union, simple ecstasy, centering, or they called it recollection. But this is a deep, deep history for our Christian religion, that people knew how to be in the spirit and then go back to the Hebraic. When it says they called on the name of the Lord, that can also mean mumbled and muttered and groaned and chanted and sung the name of the Lord. So it's awesome. Okay. That's beautiful. So very gently come back. I'm just going to go onto the gallery view to look at you guys. How did you find that meditation practice? I mean, I love it and I do it, you know, every day in lots of different ways. Did you feel a shift happen when you were doing it? That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Just have a look at some of your faces. Woo! How many of you guys can feel more of the glory just by doing that, more of the presence? Mm-hmm. Isn't it amazing? Yeah. You know, one of the names for this is also called the prayer of simplicity. That's what Teresa of Avila called it, the prayer, because it's really simple. We've made it really difficult to get into God's presence in meetings. I've been in meetings where they're calling on God to come and shouting and crying. And I'm thinking, what's happened to these people? They've forgotten the gospel, the happy gospel of union. But I'm not a modern Christian. I'm more like the early Christian saints and, you know, the old saints who had a revelation that Jesus had come. that Jesus had come. And they realized it. It's like even Augustine, he said, I looked for you without, but you were within. I looked for you without, but you blazed and you blazed and I gasped and I breathed. So even the saints of old knew these incredible things. The Desert Fathers, they knew it. The Desert Fathers, the Celtic saints, they knew it. Francis of Assisi used to get whacked off his vegetable patch. He did. He's actually quoted as saying, someone asked him, if this is your last day on earth, what would you do today? And he was like, I would probably just hang out with my vegetables. So, you know, nature mystics, guys, nature mystics, marvels. You know, I've mentioned this book before, but this whole chapter's on marvels of many kinds, bee miracles, reptile miracles, creatures of the sea miracles. See, if people are doing it and we're not, we should look at how they lived and ask, how did they live? They lived in contemplation and meditation and union and whack. They lived in the wine cellar. Catherine of Siena did loads of nature miracles. And she said, God gave me a drink that was so strong at first I was frightened. At first I was frightened, she said. And then she said, and then I became addicted to this wine. Another saint said, God locked me in the wine cellar and threw away the key. How many of you guys want to be locked in the wine cellar? And your only way of surviving is to drink your way out of there. So, you know, guys, we've got to remember it's all for joy and whack. Most nature miracles I've done have happened when I'm in the joy, you know, and the way you get in the joy is just sweetness. So if joy is too much, call it sweetness, sweet and creaminess. Okay. How are we doing, Rachel?
We're doing great.
We're doing good.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it, honey.
So we are going to now talk about Mastery Over Creation, part two. This is a double portion, guys.
Wow. Bring it on.
Second helpings of Mastery Over Creation. What a great topic. So here we go. So I posted this on the page today on Patreon. I said, becoming ecclesia means we govern. We take dominion and replenish the earth. This is incredible. Guys, how many of you have you been to a church on Sunday and they've said, you're the ecclesia, you're meant to govern, take dominion and replenish the earth? It's not stuff that they say on a Sunday morning. This is the forgotten call of the church. In all our meetings and events, we've forgotten who we are. We are the shields of the earth. We are the ones all creation is waiting to see emerge in freedom, joy, and life. Woo! Restoring, repairing, transforming. Brilliant. So listen to this next statement I said on the page. Over the next century, this change will be here. Earth restored. Howard Storm. I've recommended Howard Storm's book to you. It's called My Descent into Death. He was an atheist who died and in Sheol, in darkness, called out to Jesus. And Jesus came as a bright light and scooped him up and took him to heaven. So Jesus saved him in Sheol. That's amazing. So even in Sheol, your spirit can find me. So the Bible's true. Death is not the end. So I don't know why Christians always think death is the end when Jesus says even he can find you in Sheol. But anyway, we're rediscovering the gospel, aren't we? So Howard Storm, an atheist who died and was saved by Jesus from Sheol, saw the future. This is a really cool thing. God took him not just up into heaven and showed him saints and angels. He showed him the future and he took him to the year, we estimate, 2165. Now, I really believe this account has a lot of authenticity because he was dead, he was an atheist, and Jesus took him there. So that's pretty good, if you ask me. If you're going to have a prophetic experience, you're ticking my boxes when you say, I was dead, I was an atheist, Jesus saved me from Sheol. So he took him into the future, and it says this, he saw communities all over the world governing crops. In his encounter, he saw that crops would grow instantly as people overshadowed them. People knew animals, they knew their crops, they knew their plants, and they were all connected, and you'd only produce as much as you needed, and it would create itself for you. He saw people were governing the weather. The whole weather of the whole earth was governed by humanity in cardiognosis. Living in creative hubs, they're in communities all based around innovation, arts, music, languages, exploration of the stars, all kinds of things, clothing, creative communities. Connected, telepathic. This is amazing. I wrote in here a chapter on cardiognosis. Well, apparently in the future, everybody has it. That's lucky. I got it right. Everyone in the future is telepathic. Well, I did say in the book, we're telepathic by design. We are telepathic. Yeah. He said everyone was healthy and could heal each other's bodies. And everyone, this is interesting. We're going to talk about this later on. Everybody had cosmic consciousness and could see beings on other planets. They said their consciousness could shift to other planets without leaving the Earth. They didn't need spaceships. How about that? I've been saying for a long time, spaceships are not going to get us to the stars. The distance in space is too far. God's designed it that love gives you access to the stars. When you go through the love gate, you could be anywhere in Christ and move through space and time. Whoa. So I estimate the year was 2165 because it was 200 years from his encounter, which was in the 60s. This is not far away. It means we're in a time of forced change, a time like no other in the 4.5 billion years of Earth. Let that sink in. The end of the old ways and the beginning of the new ways, the Kainos creation rising. What a great statement. I'm quite pleased with how I wrote that. That's beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. It's great when I get whacked off my own writing. So, wow, how do you feel about that, guys? That's a level of, now I want you to think about that. That's a level of change that we've never seen before. That means everything on earth is going to change. Enoch called this the time of the great intervention, the time of great change. We're going into a scale of change we've never seen before. And before I even knew Enoch, before I even met Ian Clayton or Nancy Cohen, God said to me, you're in the time of forced change. And I said, what's forced change? And he said, forced change. It means it's forced. It's going to happen whether you want it or not. So you're either going to jump on board or resist it, but you're in the time of forced change. So get on board. He said, get ready for change, get ready for destiny, get ready for breakthrough. That's what he told me when I was working in Lloyd's Bank. I was just about to put my password in the computer, and that's what he said to me. Amazing. So I started praying on Fridays and seeking God because of it. My boss let me take Fridays off as long as I still finish my projects and work. So I just engaged and engaged and engaged, and it led me to here. Okay. Woo. So think about it, guys. The amount of change that's going to happen now means the way we function as humans is going to change. Church is going to change. Christianity is going to change. Christianity as an idea will be changed into sonship, love, government, ecclesia, sons of light, kingdom of light, daughters of light, wise ones, shining ones. Daniel saw this. He said, there's a day coming where there'll be hubs of wisdom who will make people wise, and they'll be called the illuminated ones. How many of you guys want to be an illuminated one? I wouldn't mind that. Thank you, Lord. So this already here. So the Kainos message is this. It's already here. What's going to happen now is the blurring of the realms, and all the nations will turn and remember. Psalm 22, verse 27. All the nations will turn and remember that you are God. I will pour out my spirit like waters, like on all flesh, all flesh. Now, I preached that in a conference, and this prophetic guy said to me, all flesh means all Christians. Oh, I'm not sure they got that right. Yeah, I think all flesh does mean all flesh. I think the animals are included in this, you know, animals are flesh. And it says that the lion will lie down with the lamb. It says snakes are not going to sting. So even animals are going to get whacked. Even, you know, the seas. It says they're going to cry out. Okay. So Colossians 3 says this. The exact life in Christ is now being repeated in us. This is the mirror version. We are being co-revealed. Wow. Just do a little co-revealing right now, guys. Co-revealing. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Or as John put it, as he is, so are we in this world. So in this world, wow. It's just too much. It's too much. Okay. So we're coming into a massive time of change. And the Lord said to Patricia King, she prophesied this, and I write it in the book, some of the things that God will manifest in these coming days have never been done before. Things that will stretch our imagination and challenge our intellect. So that time is coming where the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. All the ends of the world shall remember. So we're coming into an incredible time, guys. How many of you on this call knew a guy called John Sanford? John Sanford was a famous prophet in the 60s. He wrote with his wife, Paula, wrote the Inner Healing books, which became Sozo. He was a phenomenal prophet. He used to spend so much time in heaven that the Lord rebuked him, said, you need to spend more time in earth, so you write books. Anyway, I was with him in America before he died, and he said, I saved my most important book till last. He said, I don't think the church was ready for it. And this was the book he wrote, Healing the Earth. Healing the Earth, A Time for Change. He said this was the most important book he wrote during his lifetime. And he's one of the greatest prophets of the last century, Healing the Earth. And he says in here, this includes healing things. Healing things. Let me read this. Our Lord was asked when he would return and what it meant that when the scribes say that Elijah must come first. And he answered and said, Elijah is coming and will restore all things. Wow, that's controversial. So Jesus would get kicked out of quite a few churches. You get kicked out of conferences for saying things like that. Jesus said, Elijah's coming and will restore all things. Pass is the mean all, and it means all that there is. Christ came to restore not only humans, but all of creation. That includes objects. Guys, think about this. Objects are included. Now, I told you on a previous call, there's a barrier in our town, a crash barrier for cars, and it was broken for as long as we've lived here the last year. I walked past it the other day, put my hand on it late at night, coming back from the prayer house, coming back from here. And 2 days later, when I went back, the thing was fixed and whole. Now, it was a miracle. How do I know it was a miracle? Because they didn't fix any of the other ones that were broken. The only one that was fixed was the one I touched. And I said to the Lord, I want to reverse time. I want to engage time and reverse time. And I want to remove decay. I want this barrier fixed. It's a long segment of barrier. 2 days later, I walked past it. I didn't see any workmen there. I didn't see anybody fix it. The whole thing is back as normal. I'm telling you guys, can you imagine seeing decay broken, aging broken? We're beginning to play around with new ideas here. Wow, healing buildings, healing cars, healing things that are old and making them new, removing decay from them. I tell you what, guys, I'm going to see more of these miracles because God shown me it's in my destiny scroll, but I believe it's in yours too. It's called removing the desolation of generations in Isaiah. See, when Patricia King, I quoted her earlier, said God's going to do things that will challenge your intellect. Can you imagine being 30 years younger in a moment? Can you imagine healing your home when it's damaged, or healing pipes, or healing a car that's crashed? How about making a car like brand new when you take it to the garage and they look at the engine and they go, did you fit a new engine in this car? Because this engine's like new. I'm telling you what, guys, there are things that God wants to do that will fry your intellect. That's why you can't live here. When I put my hand on that crash barrier, I wasn't living here. I was living in my heart thinking, I want this changed. I want this new. 2 days later, it's fixed, guys. is fixed. And this is the other thing about that miracle. There were two places in the town where there's been garbage the whole time we've lived here. Both of those places I walked past and pointed and said, I want that gone. I want that gone. Within a week, both of them were cleared, even though the garbage had been there for a whole year. Somebody came along and cleared them. So guys, we have to think bigger than we have before. Think more expansive than we have before. So this is what God said to Bobby Connor. I give you permission to exaggerate what I'm going to do. Now, Bobby Connor was offended at that. So he said to the Lord, give me a verse for that. And this was the verse that God gave. It was Ephesians 3:20. He is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. So we are blurring the boundaries of realms. We're in the age of blurring the realms. And part of that is earth. Earth is where we're going to blur them, because it's the earth is the heaven's gate. It's born from the face of the deep. It's where Eden merges. And all these Christians are trying to escape earth in a rapture. Guys, we're not going to escape earth. We are going to govern earth and transform earth. That's what the Bible teaches. It doesn't teach that we escape it. And as I said before, that one of the verses they quote is about one being taken from a bed and one in the field. That was actually fulfilled in AD 70 when the Romans killed 500 people a day and literally stole one from a bed, one from a field. And Jesus even said, the vultures will gather. He said, run to the hills of Samaria. He was prophesying to the Jews. He even said, this word will be fulfilled and some of you will still be alive to see it. This generation shall not pass away, he said, before this word takes place. And it all happened. It's all documented. There were signs in the heavens. There was a false prophet who took over the city. They burnt the food because he said he was going to produce food. Anyway, okay. So the point I'm making is, earth is beautiful and we don't want to escape. We want to transform it. We want to heal the desolation of generations. Now, when I was taken into heaven with Enoch, I was shown Isaiah's book is open. And Enoch said to me, all of heaven's conspiring and excited around the book of Enoch, the book of Isaiah, sorry. The book of Isaiah is open for this generation. Now, one of the mysteries I was shown was that we are going to be called repairer of the breach, oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. We will rebuild the ancient ruins. So we're going to discover the ancient technologies, that means, for a start. All of those places around the earth, the pyramids, all of the ancient ruins, all of the ancient technologies that we've forgotten are going to come back to us. And the other part of that is you'll restore the desolation of generations. We are going to restore genetics. Generations, genetic history, animals as well. Animals have got trauma in them. We've got trauma in them. The record of death. What it is we're going to see, that life swallows death and removes the record of trauma. Any sickness that you get in your body is because trauma is triggered into it. There's a time coming where we will be immune to sickness. All the trading platforms are going to be broken, not just for us, but for animals. Animals are afraid of humans because of trauma. They have trauma in their DNA that's altered their DNA, and this is going to be unraveled. Yeah, even our relationships with angels is going to change because we have trauma because of the fallen ones, the watchers and the Nephilim. We don't trust angels. So we have trauma in there, and God's undoing the trauma to heal the family and make us one body again. Okay, woo! So we know this is going to work. It says in Isaiah, leopards will lie down with young goats, one translation says, and wolves will rest with lambs. Calves and lions will eat together and be cared for by little children. So even little children will have the government of animals. Even little children will be able to manage nature. Even little children will be able to govern crops, harvests, fields, nature. Now get this, guys. I said in the last session that earth needs to be replenished. It says, take dominion and replenish the earth. In other words, earth doesn't function properly without humans. If you leave Earth to itself, it goes wild and out of control. We're meant to co-create with the Earth, that there's flowers here, there's fruit trees here, there's rivers here, there's mountains here. We're meant to landscape and co-create and be architects. So when I came out of my encounter with Enoch in the heavens, I actually heard the word spoken as I was coming out of the trance, landscapers, mm-hmm. architects. I had designers. I heard those words as I was coming out of it, waking up on the plane. I was awake, but coming into my body again. I heard that word spoken. God is looking for who will landscape forests, who will landscape creation, who will govern creation. It says we've been given dominion of the fish of the sea. We've been given dominion. We're not even talking about this in church. When did you go to church and they say, let's learn to govern fish? Or when did they say, let's have a telepathy activation session? Or when did they say, let's ascend into heaven as a group? You know, there has to be a shift, guys, because this is biblical. We want to be like the saints of old. We want to walk like the early Christian lives. We want to do what Aidan, Bede, and Cuthbert did. We want to be like Francis of Assisi. And, you know, this is a great book if you've not got this, The New Mystics by John Crowder. This book is full of mystical stuff that is phenomenal. The Desert Fathers, the ancient streams, hidden movements of God. We've got the most radical faith in the world. We have this kainos gospel. And this is why I think a lot of us are not happy with church, because it's become a system of control. It's become a system that's taken the wonder away from us. And I don't believe it's us having a bad attitude. It's actually God changing the church. He is changing it to make it the glorious one, the illuminated one, the bride. And sometimes you have to go into the wilderness to discover that. Like with Israel, he took them into the wilderness. Woo! Okay, so animals, it says in the Book of Jubilees, which is one of the books that's quoted in scripture, were able to talk with one voice. So in the time, the early times, before the fall, animals could communicate heart to heart. That needs to be restored. There are some people already doing it. Have you seen some of these people that can go up to wild lions? This video's on YouTube, and they will hug the lions. There are incredible people who are already tapping into this, who have the nature mystic realm opening in them. It's not even a Christian thing. It's a human thing. There's a new creation going through whoever will receive God's love and land it. That's how the Lord showed me. In heaven, he showed me all these destiny scrolls coming out of the courts, and they were coming into the earth, and different people were grabbing them and outworking them. But many of them weren't what we call Christians. And the Lord was challenging me and saying, who is a collegiate? Who is my government? Who will be my government? And I was so offended by this in heaven that I asked the Lord for scripture. God's so kind, isn't he? He said to me, that's okay. He said, King Cyrus, remember King Cyrus, he said, that he was a Babylonian. He wasn't a Jew. He wasn't a follower of their traditions. But he says, I will call you my anointed one, and you will open doors, and you will create. And he funded the temple being rebuilt. So he was doing the will of the Lord that was written in his destiny scroll, and he wasn't a Jew. This is why we've got to stop saying all the time that the church has to do everything. God gives everyone a destiny scroll. Everyone on earth has a destiny scroll. Einstein had a destiny scroll. Mozart had a destiny scroll. Michael Jackson had a destiny scroll. You know, Van Gogh had a destiny scroll. God gives destinies to everyone. The key thing is find yours and engage it. Find yours. And the way you know what's on your scroll is destiny book. There's energy on it. Follow the energy, whether it's paint or dance or miracles, time miracles, ascension, all of these. You follow the energy of the dance that's been written for you. Like I've spent the last week doing a lot of painting because the dance is on painting. That's how I'm in union. That's my meditation, is painting. What is your flow and energy? Because follow the flow. Follow the flow. To quote Jesus, my people are like the wind. Woo! Follow the flow of the energy and the wind. Follow the grace on your life, because you are in the dance right now. This is happening right now. We are in the sacred, ecstatic dance of the Trinity right now. Okay. So the original commandment in Genesis was be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, subdue it and have dominion. So there are things you have to have dominion over, guys. Okay, there are things in the spirit. There are beings. Lots of beings live on earth. You know, when Jesus opened the man's eyes, he saw giants. He said, I see people like trees walking. That's one of the realms that exists here. We're not meant to just govern this realm. We're meant to sit on mountains and govern thrones and engage the watchers and the Elohim and the systems seated in heavenly realms. So we're meant to be very, very earthy and very, very heavenly all at once, just like Jesus. Okay, so God wants to restore the earth and we're meant to do it with him. He could do it like that, but we are his government. This is the training ground for us to learn cosmic and interdimensional governance and love, to learn to love. Did you learn to love? Did you learn to love nature? Did you learn to love animals? Did you love the storm? You know, I've stopped many storms, but when I've released the frequency of love, the first one I ever stopped, we had a month of rain happening in one day. And the streets were flooded in Cardiff. And I ascended up into the clouds. And do you know what shocked me? I wasn't sure what I was going to feel. I felt them invite me. I felt them love me, like, welcome. And instead of rebuking them, as I thought, I thanked them for rains. I thanked them for what they do, the elemental forces of nature. And I said, but we've had enough rain for now. Ease off, I said, ease off. And I opened my eyes, and I kid you not, I was in the car when I did this on my own. It literally stopped raining. The moment I said, ease off, and I opened my eyes, and I opened the door to no rain. And it was raining the heaviest I've ever seen in my life. That's how real this realm is. I didn't do it through pushing. I didn't do it through rebuking. I did it through embracing and loving and engaging the beauty. The beauty. And it came into balance because one thing I found from nature, it wants to be in balance. Now, if there are tornadoes and storms and earthquakes and wildfires, we have to learn to govern it. For God has plans to prosper us and not to harm us. So when I hear prophets saying America's going to be split by an earthquake, or there's going to be this disaster or that disaster, I'm thinking, guys, that's God inviting you to change it. That's not a prophecy. Prophecy is for strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. That's what Paul said in Corinthians. He said, prophecy is for strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Prophesying doom and gloom isn't prophecy. That's you getting called to go to heaven to be in the courts. That's the telephone call from daddy saying, hey, buddy, do you want to help out? You're not meant to prophesy the telephone call. You're meant to go up into the realm and create the future from Zion. You know, anyway. So coming back to what Earth is a multidimensional world. It's the gateway into the heavens. Think about that. I believe there are other ones around the cosmos, by the way. I've seen there are other gateway planets. The way it looks like is it's like they're blurring. It's like you look at the planet, but you see into another place. So I believe there are many gates and doors. Lift up your head, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors. There are ancient doors in the stars. And we're one of them. We are one of the gates of heaven. Okay, maybe there's one in every galaxy, I don't know. Or maybe this is the only one, I don't know. From my experience, I believe there are others too. We're not the only sons of God. And the Bible says that. Remember, it says in Proverbs, when the Lord laid the foundation of the earth, it says, oh, it might be in Job, I can't remember, it might be Job. It says, all the sons of God shouted for joy. So there were sons of God before us. Okay. I know we like thinking we're the only ones because that's the way we're designed. That's okay because that's how babies think. And it's okay when you get little to think that way. But at some point you grow up and you go, actually, what are those beings? And what are those beings? And then you realize as well that we've all been going to the heaven that interfaces with this gate, that there are heavenly places. And some of them don't look like this one. They look like other heavenly realms. Yeah, someone just posted, I have other flocks other than this one. So the Lord has many houses, many mansions, and we shouldn't be offended by that. That doesn't stop you being special. God still loves my little ginger beard and my balding head. I'm not insecure, you know? So come on, guys. Let's stop being this thing. This is what you hear in Christianity all the time. We're the ones that have to do it. We're the only sons. I don't believe that. You know, the Bible already says there are other sons. It says the other sons shouted for joy. There are other people in his family. Just get over it. It's okay. But let's find out what we're supposed to do. Yeah, what are we supposed to do to transform creation? I have managed the weather many times. Do you want to do it? Yes, you do. Because you don't want floods, you don't want tornadoes, you don't want wildfires. So let's start to govern creation instead of going to churches. Let's be church. Let's be ecclesia 24/7. 24/7, I am the government of God. 24/7, angels are around us. 24/7, we're in the throne. 24/7, we live in love and joy and dance and play. Okay, how are we doing, Rachel?
Beautiful. It's powerful, babes.
I'm going to look at people's faces a second. Can I get a bit of encouragement on the call? Are you guys doing good? Am I kind of hitting it at the right level for people?
Yeah.
Too high, too low? Right level?
All looks good to me.
Yeah, thank you, Caroline.
Perfect, thank perfect.
You. Thank you, Ben.
Thank perfect. You. So good.
Okay.
Keep going.
Perfect.
Keep I'll keep going. Do you know I've got more?
Amazing.
Thank you. I've got more courageous as I've got older, because as I've grown in love, it's not coming from anything in me that wants to harm anyone. I really love Jesus. I love the gospel and I love the cosmos. I love humanity and I love the world. And I just see it through Jesus. And Jesus is love. Jesus is love. Woo! Okay. So our job is to restore the heaven's gate so that a multidimensional world and all the beings that are here start to experience the restoration, including the animals and the seas. And we're going to remove radiation, all that stuff. It's going to be cleaned. It's going to be replenished and changed as we move into this next age. As I said, Howard Storm saw 150 years time, and it was totally transformed. I'm not going to wait for that to happen. I'm living for it now, engaging for it now, believing for more and more of it now. And the more of us that believe for that, we will create that. Woo! Yes, someone's posting it. All the sons of God shouted for joy. Isn't this amazing? Let your heart get bigger. Just realize how big Papa's family is. We're in a massive family, guys. So when Jesus came, he said to this, go into all the world and preach the happy news to all creation or every creature. This is what I don't understand. I never saw Billy Graham preach to the zoo. These are the kind of things that are going to happen. I know it sounds crazy, but people will go to the zoo and preach the happy gospel. People will start to preach to the animals in the field. They'll start to preach to the horses and dogs and cats. There is a whole realm that wants to hear the happy, happy gospel. Wow. Someone's saying, I preached to my cat. Yeah, my old dog, Bella, she used to get so whacked when the glory was coming in the living room. We put soaking music on. She would lie out, man, on her back in a glory trance. She loved it. Absolutely love the glory. Our new dog Teddy's not the same. He's a bit ratty. We're training him. He thinks he's in charge, but we have to tell him he's not. He can't sleep on our bed. So I'm governing creation. Teddy, off my bed. What are you doing? Okay, so I'm going to just start to show you some slides of church history. Oh, wow. Someone saying my fish loves it when I dance. Yeah, Nancy told me that she had a fish tank respond to her once. She was in a place and all the fish were drawn towards her. Incredible. I want to hear your stories in a minute. So I'm just going to keep going for a second. So I'm going to screen share. Nature Mystics. Okay, here we go. Can you see that one now?
Is it a DNA to put?
Yeah. So, Rachel, let me know if this is working. So as I said, we are transdimensional beings as well as Earth. We are Jacob's ladder. We are the gates of heaven. We have gates and doors. Even as Earth is transdimensional, we are transdimensional. So the ecclesia, everything's been put under our feet. This is incredible. He has put all things under his feet and has appointed in the universal and supreme head of the church, a government exercised through the church. So the word ecclesia is an assembly of people convened at the public place of the council for the purpose of deliberating. In other words, they called out to have a voice and a name, ekkleo, to give command and bring order. So our job is not to have a preach and worship on a Sunday. Worship should be always going on. We are supposed to be called out to govern creation. That's what Jesus meant when he said ecclesia. In other words, we're meant to hold the earth in our heart and govern it and govern creation. Now, I believe Adam and Eve could hold the whole earth in their hearts at the beginning. So some of the first people that started to manifest this in the early centuries were the Desert Fathers. They broke out into the desert, and you can read about them in a book called Early Christian Lives. People like Antony of Egypt, Martin of Tours, Jerome, other people, they went out into the deserts, and even other beings would interact with them from other dimensions. I'm going to talk about this with you next month, where we're going to talk about what beings exist. They had incredible encounters with creation and nature. Even mythical and mystical beings would appear to them. But nature would respond to the fact that the desert started to bloom. They said they made the desert literally bloom, and kings would come to them, and they would be fed by animals. It was really incredible time of history. This is Martin of Tours. And he gave half of his cloak to this homeless man who turned out to be Jesus. He later on saw Jesus in heaven wearing his cloak. It was the last cloak he had. And he left as a Roman soldier, and he started the whole monastic movement. But nature would respond to him, trees would respond to him, and even pagan sites would be dismantled because of what he walked in. Then we have Patrick of Ireland, who was from Wales. He actually cleared out all the snakes out of Ireland. So there are no snakes on Ireland at all. He got rid of those suckers. He didn't want them on Ireland. So there are no poisonous snakes. There are no snakes at all on Ireland. He even mystically transfigured him and his team, his group of men. They looked like they were deer. And there's a famous song and prayer called The Deer's Cry. And they actually did this because they were in danger, and they walked past these people that were hunting them in the form of an animal. And I talk about that in the Beyond Human book. Other people that walked in this, Cuthbert of Lindisfarne. This is just outside Scotland. I love this. Look at all those seals. Now, I've been to Lindisfarne, and it literally is like this. All the seals come out and look at you. I think they do this because of the history they had with the saints. The saints lived here, and they moved in incredible, incredible miracles. So it's a beautiful, beautiful place. If you can ever go there, it's called Holy Island. And people can walk across when the sea's out. When the sea comes in, you can't get there. So there's a short window where you can walk across, and people do pilgrimages to go there. And there's me doing one. That's me being all mystical on my own, looking extra mystical as I walk along the Holy Island. But I had such a great time. I went in the sea there, ice cold. But Cuthbert, who lived there, incredibly would pray at night in the freezing water. He was like the Wim Hof of his generation. He was like the Iceman. He would pray, but look at his feet. There are otters. And what used to happen when he came out of the water, otters would warm his body. They would warm his body. I've been there. I've stood in the water. There's so much glory still there on that island, the whole island. And they knew that God was entangled in nature, and they had incredible miracles. This is another one with Cuthbert, where he was journeying through Scotland, Pictland, with his disciple, and they had no food. And he said that the birds will help us. And an eagle came and brought a fish. And what they did was they cut the fish in half and gave half of it back to the eagle, because they said the eagle deserved his share of the catch. That's the kind of lifestyle they had. And they wrote this book called The Book of Kells. And as you can see, the way they wrote these books, they would entangle angels, plants, animals, trees. All of it is in one sacred dance, one mystical dance. Now, some people believe this book, The Book of Kells, was actually drawn and written by angels. I believe it's actually possible. I do believe, because angels would walk with them face to face, and they changed the world, guys. They changed the world. They knew that we were entangled. So they would always, this is how they would draw the Trinity. They would draw the Trinity as one. It's one, but interconnected with creation and nature. We're all entangled. They believe God was everywhere in everyone. They didn't believe you had to ask Jesus into your heart. They believe Jesus already lived and moved in everyone, and that we had to bring people into awareness of it where they would accept it and join with it. Wow. Another great island in Scotland, Island of Iona. This island literally changed Britain. There would be no Great Britain without this island. I've been there. It's an incredibly mystical place. It's where Cuthbert was. This is somebody dressed up as Cuthbert, not a picture of him, because he was obviously around in the year 500. But Columba would govern weather. Angels would come to him and tell him who to knight as kings of Ireland. They would stop plagues. They would levitate, trans-relocate, bilocate. And this went on for hundreds of years. Many of them were women as well. This was the cool thing about the Celtic saints. They believed women could be apostles. So this is Brigid, the first woman apostle of the Celtic church. Now, she's got those branches behind her, because when she was anointed by the bishop to become an apostle, she was anointed with these other women. There was five of them. She got whacked and drunk in the spirit. She fell backwards and leaned on this wooden balustrade. And when she touched it, the branches blossomed and came back to life. And it actually became a living tree again after she touched it. Incredible realms these guys walked in. This is David, St. David from Wales, where I'm from. If you notice, he shaved his head at the front. That's how the first monk shaved it. And they did it because of Celtic warriors. They believed in the wild goose. They called Holy Spirit wild goose because no one could control him. No one could stop him. Well, David did lots of nature miracles. David once was preaching to thousands, and he created a small hill, spoke it into existence so he could have a pulpit in the field so people could see him. He also created rivers and streams for people to drink who were listening to him preach. His first miracle was healing a blind person. Then we move over to the Franciscans. We have St. Francis of Assisi, who would preach to animals. And what happened was, one day he was out in the field with other people and he started to preach to the birds, and they all gathered and listened intently as he shared the Lord's love. From then on, they were attracted to him. He would levitate a lot as well. He would levitate so high that you couldn't see him. He would be as light as a feather when he was levitating. They said you could move him effortlessly. He could even balance on trees when he was levitating. Now, he started a whole movement. This is a famous story. This is the Wolf of Gubbio. Obviously, somebody's acted this out. This story is absolutely phenomenal. It's in the books. And you can read it for yourself. But this wolf was really intensely evil. It killed animals, killed people in the town, and no one wanted to go out. So Francis of Assisi showed up and he confronted the wolf. It snarled and came at him. And he said, "Brother Wolf." And he spoke to the wolf and told it to change. And he made an agreement with the wolf that if it stopped killing people, the town would feed it every day. And he put out his paw, and all these people saw this miracle take place, and it became the pet of the town. Amazing. One of his disciples, Saint Bernard, he's one of my favorite ones because he was whacked for 15 years straight. I want to be like Bernard. Maybe in the next 15 years, God will allow me to be whacked for 15 years. But basically, he would walk in forests and disappear for days. And St. Francis would go looking for him, and he would be in an ecstasy in the forest. I want forest whack, guys. Other ones, as you know, this is St. Anthony. He preached in a town. Nobody listened to him for days. He got so frustrated, he went to the shore. And as he preached, hundreds and then thousands of fish came to the shore. All kinds of sea animals and sea creatures came, and they all listened to him preach. When he finished, the whole town was converted. Then we have people like Francis Xavier. He was a Catholic. He would bilocate. He went to India. He went to China. He was a phenomenal guy. He would raise the dead often and be in multiple places at the same time. But one of the funny miracles he did was he lost his cross, his crucifix, on a necklace at sea. And he was so upset by this. When they landed sometime later at the shore, he was walking along the beach praying about it, and a crab came along holding his necklace in its claw, and he got his necklace back off a crab. Now, I think that's a cool story. He did loads of miracles. He turned sea salt water into fresh water. They lost the lifeboat on one of the voyages, and he prayed. And when they came back to the harbor, the lifeboat was there, the lifeboat transported. And then you have people like St. Herman of Alaska in the 1700s. This guy would hang out with the bears. He would be with the wild bears. The hunters and trappers could not understand what he was doing. He lived in such a realm of mysticism. Animals would want to live by him. Bears would hang out with him. It didn't make sense. The bears he used to hang out with were dangerous, really big bears, and he tamed them. Okay. I'm going to escape this now. So yeah, we're meant to hug the world. Are you guys okay with this? I hope it's okay what I'm talking about. That was just a tiny bit of church history. Read this. Read this. Read this. Read this. The list goes on and on. And I put them in the references of my book, okay? Now, how are we doing, Rach? We're doing good, nearly Q&A time, but I'm going to do another presentation now, okay? I'm going to do one on Jesus restoring creation, okay? So let's just jump into this. This is short, and we'll get into some Q&A. So here we go. So coming back to the Trinity was in a thing called celebrative constancy. That's what theologians call it. So at the beginning, God was happy. God was happy. And this explosion created Bereshit, which is the beginning, a house and a family. So the goal of our God is happy inclusion. And from there, the Lord created houses or many mansions. These are all different dimensions and worlds that exist, heavenly realms, heavenly places. Now, what you have to realize is that in the spirit realm, in the kingdom realm, some of these dimensions have animal forms in the angelic. So even though there are animals on earth, what you have to realize is the pattern and the blueprint for them is in another dimension. So eagles exist in the heavens. Lions exist in the heavens. Oxes exist in the heavens. These are heavenly beings. The ones we see on earth a lower dimensional representations of a higher dimensional realm. So from the face of the deep, the mysteries of God, God pulled out the gateway planet, which is meant to be the blurring of realms, the place of intimacy and healing of the cosmos, Earth. Earth was created from the face of the deep. Now, Eden, this is an awesome picture. I love this. We were in a blurred realm. That's what you have to realize. So we are going to become increasingly mystical as we start to blur these boundaries. All of these animals are meant to come back to harmony. Remember, Jesus came to restore what was lost. The gospel is not just a ticket to heaven. That's the lowest level. The gospel is our inclusion in Jesus and the transformation of creation. The tree of life being restored, which overcomes death, disease, corruption, and decay. Immortality is on our scroll. Overcoming death is on our scroll. We're meant to fill it with glory. Okay, so think about this with God. Now, God, who was beyond creation, so in Hebraic, they call him Ein Sof, which means the unlimited, unknowable, beyond, became a human. But where did he choose to do that? Even this was written in his book, that he was with the animals. He was with nature. He was with creation. But not only was he with them, angels came, so celestial beings, but also the kings came from the east. Now, Ian Clayton teaches something quite interesting about this. He teaches that the kings came through the East Gate. They came from another creation, the first state, the first creation. So all of the creations are looking in on this. The animals are looking in on this. Humans are looking in on this. Celestial beings, angels are looking in on it. And first creation beings are all looking at the embodiment of love. Love has a face. So think about this. When Jesus started his ministry, he was immersed into waters. We came from waters. He's going back into the mem. He's going back into the memory. He's going back into the mystery. He's going back into the face of the deep. He's in nature. He's in a river. And the Holy Spirit appears in the form of a dove. So again, we have a natural form and a celestial form combined in the merger of worlds in Yeshua HaMashiach. Oh, wow. Woo! Woo, woo, woo! Now, this is an interesting thing. Immediately after this, Jesus went into the wilderness. I can't find many pictures of this, but it says in Scripture, this weird verse, it says Jesus was with the wild beasts. The wild beasts came to him and the angels ministered to him. So this is a sign of the government that Jesus carried, is that wild animals came to him, angels came to him. And you guys don't know this, it's not in the Bible, but this is something that John the Baptist has said, is that the saints appeared to him as well. Even Adam appeared to him there and offered to take his place. He shared this with the Maharishi of Kailash, that he saw all of this happen. John the Baptist, he witnessed it. He said there were all kinds of animals around Jesus and they were all engaging him, asking if they could help him. The angels, even Adam appeared and said, "Can I do this?" And Jesus said, "Only I can do this. I am the way. I am the way." His first miracle then was transmutation over natural elements, earth elements, grapes, water, wine. Calming the storm. He said, "This is why didn't you do it?" So his expectation was, why weren't they doing it? God's expectation is that we calm storms, we govern creation. He didn't say to them, "Well done, you woke me up." He never said that. He said, "Why did you do this?" He said, "Why didn't you calm the storm?" So governing storms is part of what we should do. Then he governed the miraculous catch of the fish. Did the fish create spontaneously? Did they metamorphosize? Were they created through quantum foam particles? Whatever happened, they obeyed the government on him and a miraculous catch happened. Even the producing of a coin in the fish's mouth. Is this to say a deeper truth, that there is wealth in nature, that nature will provide for us what we need, that we need the harmony with nature? Oh, thank you, Yahweh. So he even walked on water. So even the constitutional elements of nature are meant to react to us and be governed by us. This is profound, absolutely profound. And then Jesus would go into the wilderness many nights on his own, stay awake and engage the heavens. He would have many ecstasies, encounters, raptures. This would even happen to him when he was a little boy. It's not recorded in Scripture, but when he was younger, he used to be taken into the cosmos and see the Father's desire and walk with the Father. But he used to go into those places and commune through creation and go into ascension and mystical states. And then even when he died, the thing that responded was the earth. It says the earth shook. The earth let out a sound, it let out a frequency, it let out a ripple, and the death was broken and the graves were open. His blood began the restoration of the gate of heaven. His blood began the restoration of all things. His blood was the shout that God is for us and God is love. And the earth responded and the earth remembered. And then how did it appear after the resurrection? Again, this is amazing. You don't hear people preach on this, but he appeared as a gardener. She thought he was the gardener. So he returned to Eden. He returned as the gardener, as the one who cultivates the earth, looks after the earth, replenishes the earth. And he was saying, "I'm restoring you back to where you're meant to be. I'm restoring Eden," which means pleasure. "I'm restoring the garden. I'm restoring you back to doing what you were meant to do." Then how did Jesus go? Jesus went into the clouds. That's the same thing that happened to Enoch in the book of Enoch. it says, clouds invited me, winds call me, and the stars took me into heavens. So the clouds embrace Jesus. Woo, cloud riders. Awesome. And then we know that the new Jerusalem is meant to come back onto earth. Now, whether this is metaphorical or quantum physics or transdimensional, it might be all of those things. The key thing is this: God wants heaven on earth. It's on earth that we're fighting for. Earth, heaven come on earth until it's filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And then I believe we're going to go into another age, which will be the age beyond salvation, where we're saved and we're starting to manifest healing into the stars. And I'm going to talk about that another time, but I do believe there is a next age. And I do believe that part of that is the cosmos reborn. Okay. All righty. I'm going to look again. It's half past. Is everybody still with me, or has this been too much tonight? I hope it's not dry.
Goodness me, no.
It's not dry. Okay, we're going to jump in very quickly. I'm going to rush through this one last slideshow, and then we're going to do stories. I just want to quickly talk about governing the weather and how to do it, because it's an important skill and I want you guys to be able to do it. And I've done it many, many times. So I'm going to share that with you now. So Adam and Eve were meant to govern all of creation, the whole planet. They could hold it in their hearts. I believe a human being can govern a galaxy. That's my belief. A galaxy is a house, and we're a father and mother of a house. Maybe we can govern more than one, but in the future, I believe we will. There are 3 trillion galaxies or 2 trillion galaxies and many more things we don't know about. So there's a lot to govern. Okay, the first weather miracle I ever did, as I said earlier, a month of rain fell in one day and I ascended in my car and the clouds welcomed me and I thanked them. It was a shock to me. I felt them embrace me and I said to them, thank you, but that's enough. Immediately the rain stopped. Now, after this, the Lord said, I want to teach you something. I want to teach you how to govern the weather. So these are the verses he gave me. Psalm 47, verse 9. For the shields, guardians of the earth, belong to God. We are the earth shields. We are the earth guardians. He has put us in charge of the earth. Amazing. This is another time the Lord used me. I was doing a conference with Grant and a few other people in Alabama. And in the middle of my talk, Apostle Aaron got up and said, there's a tornado all coming to our town. It's the first time. They said, this is ground zero. We stood up as a conference. We repented for anything that had happened in the land, any defilement, anything we had done. And we walked prophetically through the middle and said, we're going to cut the storm in half. This is what happened, guys. This is amazing. We literally cut the storm in half. There's Mobile in the middle. The storm cut right through the middle and it separated. No tornadoes could land in this storm, even though the sirens went off. And look at the bubble we created. We literally created a bubble of clear and all the storm chasers were in Mobile and nothing happened. So those are the kind of things we could do. Other ones I've done in Brisbane. We went to Australia, Brisbane, myself, Millie and a few others. And it hadn't rained for 3 months, not one drop. We said to them, we will make it rain, but it will rain in 5 days when we leave. We were flying out in 5 days' time. In 5 days' time, when we were on the plane, it rained, the clouds appeared, and we stopped 3 months of drought. The same thing happened in Australia. There was a drought. We rearranged the Indian dipole, which is a weather system, and the rains returned. It was phenomenal. Same thing happened in Cape Town when I was doing a conference there. They forecast snow was going to shut down the conference. I engaged all night in the spirit. This one took all night. I was ascended above my body for 6 hours while I slept in the storm. We created a hole in the storm 1 mile wide with blue skies, warm weather. When I was in Bari, Italy, they took me into the town. They were going to take me into the town. It was a hot day. I was afraid of getting sunburned. So in the hour before they picked me up from the hotel, I created a cloud just over the town. There was no cloud forecast. My host was blown away. There was literally a thin cloud, like a sunshade, like a big umbrella over Bari, and I didn't get sunburned. So we've known loads of this kind of stuff. A friend of mine who walks in this, she lived in Hong Kong, butterflies would follow her around constantly. Another friend who was a real mystic, after being in the spirit ascended, he walked through a forest, the trees were bending down to greet him, responding to him. And on that occasion, a horse spoke to him through cardiognosis. So God wants to do this and more. This is our legacy. This is our history. This is who we are. We are the shields and guardians of the world. Awesome. Thank you guys for listening. I tried to go through it methodically. I haven't even covered all my notes, to be honest with you. I'm only on page 2, but you get the picture, is that this is incredible. Incredible realm of wonder. Thank you everybody for joining us. I hope you enjoyed. That was part 2 of Mastery of Creation. What a great topic. Woo-hoo.
Thank you.
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 Thank
you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Baby.
Thank you. Thank you.